Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Mick Schatz, streaming live on DallasCowboys.com and the official Dallas Cowboys app. Now, here are Bill Jones, Everson Walls, and Mickey Spagnola.
That ought to get you fired up for some football Sunday afternoon. I got goosebumps just thinking back to the Cowboys-Niners conference championship games of the 70s. Fast forward into the 90s. We skipped right over one matchup in the 80s. And on now into the 20s. As the Cowboys try to get payback for what happened last January at AT&T Stadium.
You think if they played that song, we should just stream it in the locker room? That'll get them all fired up.
How many people anywhere near that locker room
have any idea
about Stampede?
Right. Well, they know Cowboy Joe now.
They do know Cowboy Joe.
Because of the sweatshirts.
That's right. That's right. And so we need to bring back Stampede.
That's right.
And we're doing our best here, and we're doing our best to get you ready for a divisional playoff game in Santa Clara, California, 3:30 West Coast time, 5:30 Dallas time, inside the SWBC podcast studio. Bill Jones with Mickey Spagnola. Everson Walls is away today, but he has delivered his picks to click and a pick to win.
I think he's in the witness protection program.
just judging by where he was.
The white wall.
That's right. But anyway, so no Everson in studio today. But, man, we got so much to get to.
Yes.
And there are so many storylines on this game. It's going to be very difficult to fit it into 45 minutes. We can tell you this much on this Friday that a football team is on a football field right now.
Walkthrough practice.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have their regular Saturday practice tomorrow, going over everything that they're going to do. The charter wheels up at 3:00 on Saturday.
Okay.
So even leaving at 3:00, by the time you get to Santa Clara, right, with the time change,
yep,
it's only 4:40.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't need to, normally the charter leaves at 2.
That's one thing about flying west.
An hour later.
Yep.
Right?
All right, so Mike McCarthy. Well, we also not only had Mike McCarthy, but also a couple of coordinators talking with the media today. So you're filling up your 1996 legal pad. Did you see the tweet from someone saying that Mickey 1996 wants its legal pad back?
1996.
He just threw out just because you're not on your iPad.
Not, it's not a yearly.
He could say the same thing about my notebook.
That's just a reference, Mick. Don't look too far into it.
I was wondering what 1996,
it's a funny line.
Right? Okay.
If you get it. Okay.
It's not a yearly notepad. It's a weekly notepad.
Yeah, okay. All right. I apologize for even bringing that up. So what's on your legal pad?
I think what I took from what Dan Quinn had to say, and then I think Mike McCarthy has emphasized it.
Now, he did this, Dan Quinn did this session with the media before he talked to the Broncos today?
8:40 this morning.
All right.
You know what? All the Broncos need to do is just get the game film from Monday night, right?
Mm-hmm.
That should be interview enough.
Yep.
And if he has another good Sunday night game?
Well, you could take most every game film from the last couple of years.
Yeah, and say, okay, yeah, I want this guy. But
right.
But if I'm hiring him, I'm telling him, you're the defensive coordinator. I don't want this, I'm the head coach, and then I'm going to be a walk-around guy, right? Because I think he's awfully good. But both guys all week long have emphasized tackling, that tackling will be a premium need in this game against the team that I'm sure somebody came up with a stat on it, leads the league in yards after catch. And just because of their guys being so versatile, wide receivers playing running backs playing wide receiver, they got a fullback, a tight end, and everybody runs well after the catch. So they've really talked about it all week long, tackling, tackling, tackling.
Makes it a lot easier for a rookie quarterback, too.
Yes.
When you don't have to throw it as far down the field.
Yeah, absolutely. And for a rookie quarterback to have the people around him that he does offensively, right? And so it makes it easier on him. So what the Cowboys have to do is tackle well, first down, second down, if they're running, and making sure they get him into more third and long situations. And maybe their pass rush can make him uncomfortable. Because, you know, Micah Parsons was unbelievably good yesterday, right? I think we talked about it. Or no, we didn't, because that was after
it was off the air, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So tell everyone how good Micah Parsons was talking with the media yesterday.
I mean, he's when I got done there, so I'm supposed to finish my column today, right? And I was thinking, I'm just going to transcribe what he had to say and say, here, I can't write it any better than he said it about just – he's so just right on the button. They were asking him about – playing San Francisco. And he goes, yeah, that's what we want to do. He goes, you know, if you're going to get to where you got to go, you got to play the best. He goes, let's get it done now. He goes, I want to play him. I want to see where my team is, right? What about playing Trent Williams? Well, what about Trent Williams playing me? He goes, you know what? We're awfully good at what we do. And you know what this NFL stuff, and I'm certainly paraphrasing right now, although if I had brought my computer down, I could have read it to you. He said, we're in show business, and we got two of the best guys at what they do going up against each other. He goes, this is going to be great. He goes, you know, I'm looking forward to it. He goes, I bet he's looking forward to playing me. And just going on and on, talked about, you know, people say, well, you know, San Francisco's physical and, you know, if you're going to beat them, you got to. He goes, no, we don't have to be San Francisco. We have to be us. We have to do what we do. And they're going to have to deal with us. And I was like, this is just gold, right? And just on.
City hasn't studied the rivalry between the Cowboys and Niners through the years.
No, yeah.
But he has studied boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Related that.
And he basically said, yeah. He goes, you know, when you're a boxer, listening to Ali. And he goes, he's preparing for 12 rounds. I was going to say, no, it was 15 then, right? But he goes, so we got to prepare for 12 rounds, right? And it just one after another, he goes, this is who we wanted to play. We want to play them. And it wasn't and he said it wasn't like motivation by revenge. It was like, hey, they're real good. So that's who we want to play. We got to measure ourselves. And he was basically like, let's get it on. You know, let's go. And so if the rest of the guys are thinking similar, you know, I think from a mental standpoint, this team is in a better situation now than they were last year. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you agree with me, but I got the feeling last year they sort of tippy-toed into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Coach kind of admitted it the
angst,
next day.
Angst,
yep.
Right?
He sensed some angst in the locker room for that game.
You know, and they came out with their
butterflies or whatever
it
is.
Yeah, they came out with their boombox and, you know, they're dancing coming out the tunnel. And so now I think the Cowboys, even Zach Martin, his quote to me, and it was really good. It was sort of like he said something about he still can't figure out where they were in that game. Like he was bewildered. Like how did that happen? Because if you look at it, they got out to
a big lead.
They got down 13-0, 16-7, 23-7 before they scored the next 10 points and, like, engaged, right, and had the ball there at the 20-yard line if they had gotten one more try. Martin said, why weren't we more ready? Meaning that was in his mind thinking back, like, because he looked back and he said, it just felt like we weren't ready. And he said, this time, he said, guys are excited to play this team. And I think that's true. You know, when I and it's this team, right? This team's playing, not last year's team. I went back and looked, and there are 31 guys either no longer on this team from last year, or they're in different spots, or they're not starting. So that's a huge difference in what you had last year.
Well, look at what happened the first four possessions of the game for the 49ers last year in this game. Starting with the first drive of the game, they went 75 yards in seven plays for a touchdown. Cowboys punt. It was a three and out for the Cowboys. And they come back 23 yards and nine plays for a field goal. And so it's 10-0 to start the game in the first quarter. Cowboys five and out, punt, and the Niners come back 56 yards and 12 plays for a field goal. Now it's 13-0. And then the Cowboys got a touchdown to make it 13-7. The Niners get it back, and they go 41 yards and five plays for another field goal. And, all you know, it's 16-7 before you know it.
But along the way, if you look – in that five play and out, they had a holding call. So backed you up 10 yards. Suddenly now it's 3rd and 16, right? The next possession for San Francisco, Randy Gregory gets called for a neutral zone infraction. 1st and 10 at the San Francisco 32. I had forgotten that they got called. I'm not saying they committed. I'm going to say they got called for 14 penalties in the game. 14.
And so which leads to the Niners scored, whether it was a touchdown or a field goal, on five of their first six possessions of that game, going all the way into the through the third quarter, basically, of that game.
Right. And even after they finally kicked the field goal, it was 3rd and 5 at the 20. That was the touchdown they scored. The next possession, another holding call. So it put them behind. And I think that's one of the things they remember, the penalties that they committed. So, yeah. But this is, you know, it took them to the fourth quarter to really get rolling. And then all of a sudden, there they were, right? 20-yard line, ready to, you know, take one last desperation shot.
By the way, the quarterback for San Francisco in this game, what was he doing a year ago?
He was probably playing in a bowl game.
No, he was probably getting ready for an all-star game or something like that. I don't know if he was at the senior. I don't think he was at the Senior Bowl or anything. He was getting ready for the combine or something. So here it is, Brock Purdy versus Dak Prescott. You know, it's interesting. You look at the two quarterbacks in this game, and very similar stories for Brock Purdy and
how
Dak Prescott.
Each of them got to start.
Even going back to their college days. Think about Dak when he was at Mississippi State. At one point, Mississippi State was ranked number one in the country during his time as a quarterback there. He made as big an impact on the Mississippi State program as any player in the history of that program. When you look at Brock Purdy the last 4 years at Iowa State, as a true freshman, he played and started games. He was 7-2 as a starting quarterback as a true freshman at a program that is not a traditional power by any means in college football. put together a 30-17 record at Iowa State, including a 9-3 season 1 year, Fiesta Bowl win, Major Bowl win. I mean, you can make a case that the last 4 years for Iowa State football might be the best 4 years in the history of that football program. All right, he comes into the NFL as a third-day draft pick, just like Dak Prescott was a third-day draft pick.
And only his day was longer.
Yeah, exactly. His day went all the way to the end of the draft. But he comes into a really good team. Dak Prescott came into a really good team. And we were going into training camp in 2016, and some of us had Dak Prescott as the fourth man on the depth chart at quarterback behind Tony Romo, Kellen Moore, and Jameel Showers. But Dak took advantage of his opportunity. He had not one but two quarterback injuries that happened in the preseason, and he starts every game of a 13-3 season. Brock Purdy, not one but two injuries, and he has won every game that he's been in the last 7 weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. Very similar stories, Dak and Brock Purdy.
Except for their age. Dak will be the oldest quarterback in the
playoffs. Well, right, but they were the same age when they came in. They were both 23 years old when they came in.
He's now the youngest.
But my point on that is in contrast to, say, a Trey Lance at North Dakota State, who the 49ers used a whole bunch of draft capital for to acquire. But if you go back and look at his time at North Dakota State, not very many passes attempt, not much playing time at North Dakota State. Brock Purdy has over 12,000 passing yards in his college career. Dak Prescott was a three-year starter at Mississippi State, was a mature guy coming into the league. And that's why Brock Purdy, the stage has not been too big for him so far. What happened with Dak, though, in the playoffs?
His first playoff game?
Because now, let's see if Brock Purdy, who has a playoff win under his belt, but in the first half of that game against Seattle, didn't look so good for him, and they got it together in the second half. But now he gets a real test against a very good defense and an experienced quarterback on the other side.
Which prompted not him, but the other thing Parsons said was, they ain't played us yet.
Yep.
And you got to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Just after another. So when it was pointed out to Dak that he's the oldest quarterback left in the playoffs, he looked up and he goes, S goes fast.
It does.
It does.
So you better take advantage of this opportunity.
And that was another thing. Was it Kurse said it or Zeke? It was like, you know, these opportunities don't come along every – you're not guaranteed this opportunity every year, so you got to take advantage of it.
And by the way, I don't think playing on the road matters.
No.
At
I
all.
I don't think so either.
It didn't matter last year. I mean, I think it was 1-3 were home teams in this round of the playoffs last year.
Right.
And, I mean, you look at even San Francisco last year. They went on the road last year, and they beat Dallas and then Green Bay and then had the Rams against the ropes last year. And I think this Cowboys team, I think now – it has a maturity about it.
Right.
That, and the experience from last year, they understand, okay, it's a different game this time of the year.
Yeah. And when you're on the road, and, you know, this has been pointed out, it's like you don't have any personal problems. You're just with your team, right? You're not worrying about
tickets and you know, and your
Aunt Jean coming in, right, and where is she going to stay,
and trying to make time for them in between your meetings at the team hotel,
right,
if they want to come see you because they just got in town, that kind of stuff.
Or you got to figure out where you're staying. Am I staying at home or am I staying in the hotel? There's a lot of things that get simplified, I should say. So I just think that because somebody said something to Dak about how confident it looks like San Francisco is. He goes, we're a confident team here too. So just the nature has changed, I think. But he did also point it out, thinking back to last year, it's huge for us to get some points, score early, which obviously they didn't do last year. So, yeah, it was a good day of interviews.
Well, and that gets back to one of the keys for San Francisco. People talk about, I think their record might be 28-2 when they run the ball more than 30 times in a game. Well, a lot of that has to do with they're ahead in games, and so they're running the ball. It's like the old Emmett Smith stat on if Emmett got 20 carries in a game, the Cowboys were unbeatable. And a lot of that is you're putting the game away late in the game. And so if you fall behind 16-7, 23-7, then they're going to run for 170 yards on 38 carries, which is what they did last year against the Cowboys.
Right. Yeah, so
so that's why you have to jump ahead on this. I mean, and case in point was, I mean, the most extreme example of it was back in the 90s in the 94 championship game when three future Hall of Famers turn the ball over three times in the first 5 minutes of a game and you fall behind 21-0. Jimmy Johnson wrote the book on swagger. Well, Jimmy wasn't coaching that team, but Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin still had a lot of swagger coming into that game. But if you turn the ball over three times in the first 5 minutes of the game, it doesn't matter how much swagger you've got, you're behind the eight ball.
And I noticed that this is almost similar. So when the Cowboys went to San Francisco in 1992 to play that NFC title game, they were 4-point underdogs. I think the last thing I saw this morning, the Cowboys are 3.5-point underdogs. And as I remember in that game, it was like, you know, the 49ers had all their stars. They had been to four Super Bowls. They had, you know, been to NFC title games, I don't know, 7-8 times since 1981 when they beat the Cowboys. It was like, well, the Cowboys are a year away. They're too young. And it's like, well, no, they're not too young. And they kind of proved it. But if you think about it, they came out there with some confidence. Remember the confrontation between Kevin Smith and Jerry Rice right from the start of the game, right? And they got into a push and shoving match. And it's like, Pup, what are you doing? You're a rookie. That's Jerry Rice. But they weren't backing down, right?
And just like Micah Parsons said, yes. That's Trent Williams. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, right. It's okay. Let's go. Let's see who can do what, right? And so, yeah, I think. And then somebody mentioned to Dak about, do you think getting that win got the monkey off your back? He goes, I ain't got no monkey on our back. You know, it's like, so it was one thing after another that I think if you were part of it, you started thinking, okay, from a mental standpoint, if it makes a difference, they're in the right place.
All right, we continue with more mixed shots in just a moment.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar? Great job, honey! Oh. Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. 5 times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a three-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Cape Post Roofing and Waterproofing, proud partner of the Dallas Cowboys. From corporate homes to your home, have your roof checked by choice, not by chance. Call now, 214-225-4860, and that's capepostcompany.com.
And as Mickey mentioned, it'll be 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The Cowboys are headed to Santa Clara to take on the Niners. Divisional round of the playoffs. Come out to Miller Lighthouse, AT&T Stadium, for a free divisional watch party on Sunday. Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders will be there, rowdy, and you can enjoy $5 Miller Lights, lawn games, food trucks, and more. Gates open at 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Kickoff is at 5:30. And for more info, visit DallasCowboys.com/playoffs, the divisional watch party. Get there early.
I'm watching highlights of Dak throwing to CeeDee Lamb, which was another question that came up to Mike McCarthy today about getting last game. I think CeeDee only had 2 catches, maybe. Let's see here. CeeDee.
He had
one catch for 21 yards.
What? Against San Francisco.
Against San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant. Yeah.
And so he pointed out that, okay, this is a different team, right? He's the number one guy now. You know, they still had Coop back then. I think he ended up with 6 catches in the game. And by the way, in case everybody's forgotten, they did not have Michael Gallup available in that game. Mm-hmm. Remember, he got hurt. The leading receiver was Dalton Schultz, 7 catches for 89 yards. And was that?
Cedric Wilson had 5 catches for 62 yards,
right,
in that game.
Right, yeah. And then they had, was it Malik Turner, the 4th receiver?
Yes,
right?
Yep.
Yeah, he was playing in that game.
So there was no Noah Brown. Blake Jarwin played in that game.
Yeah.
So that shows the turnover. And by the way, Tony Pollard had 4 carries for 14 yards in that game.
So that was the game. It came up. I almost forgot. That was the game where they completed the 4th down pass. Anger completed a pass, and they were going to go to the line of scrimmage, remember? And they were going to run another play. And they thought the Cowboys substituted when they didn't, because Jayron Kearse, I think he put his foot over the white line, and they held up the play for San Francisco to sub. And then they were out there with their punt team, and it's like McCarthy goes, yeah, we're not going to run a play against their punt team, right? So they ended up getting a delay of game because they had to run their regular offense on, or they had to call timeouts.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea got foiled by a ticky-tack thing like that.
All right, who are the 2 highest-scoring teams in the National Football League the last 11 weeks of the season?
Oh,
last 11 weeks, going including last week.
Well, the Cowboys had to be pretty high.
Cowboys are number one, averaging 33 points a game since Dak returned from his injury.
And if you go through the 9 weeks, like get rid of the Detroit game, his first back, and the last game, when they scored 6 points, they were averaging 36 points in those other 9 games.
But if you go back to October 30th, the Chicago game, just start it from there, and the Cowboys scored 49 in that game. The Cowboys have scored 33 points a game to lead the league, which includes the wild card round. And guess who is number 2?
San Francisco.
Yes, 31 points a game.
Guess.
And that coincided with the trade for Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
And so, and the Niners are now 11-1 after making the trade. The first game that McCaffrey played in, which is a couple of days after the trade, was against Kansas City. They lost, and they've won 11 straight games since then.
So they finished sixth in points per game, and the Cowboys finished fourth.
In fact, I was I did some research on McCaffrey, and I wish Everson was here today, because did you know that Everson and McCaffrey's dad were teammates?
With the Giants.
With the Giants in 91.
Ed
McCaffrey, who, by the way, made the Pro Bowl in his career, his 10-year career in the NFL. He was a third-round pick of the Giants in 1991, and Everson was with New York then. How about what the Niners gave up for McCaffrey in this trade?
Their firstborn?
The Niners gave up in this trade with Carolina this year's second round, third round, and fourth round picks, and next year's fifth round pick. Okay. But think about what's happened with the Niners and the relatively new here the last couple of years, the minority hiring compensatory picks. The Niners just this week, with Rand Carthen, one of their executives, becoming the general manager of the Tennessee Titans.
No, they didn't get compensation for that?
No, yes.
Oh, that's right.
They get two third-round picks.
For that.
For the minority hire. They got two third-round picks for Robert Saleh becoming the head coach of the New York Jets a couple of years ago. And they got two first-round picks for Mike McDaniel becoming the head coach of the Miami Dolphins last year. And so they've got – you look at what they gave up for McCaffrey.
They replaced it.
They're replacing it with their compensatory picks on either head coach or executive hirings. I'm not sure exactly what the number is. And some of those spread over a couple-of-year period.
Yeah, right.
But they have at least two – third-round compensatory picks for these hires in this year's. It may be three this year, and which basically you're looking at what they gave up for McCaffrey, if you factor that in, is basically a second-round draft pick and maybe a fifth next year.
Will McClay better watch his step.
That's funny.
It's like, all right, let's get this guy a job. We need some draft
picks.
It's
funny you say that, because it was Will McClay who
pointed.
I did a segment with Will yesterday, and I don't even know what brought it up. He said, well, they're just, you know, they're picking up third compensatory picks left and right for all these hirings. And he told Steven, are you going to trade me? You going to trade me for a couple of third round picks? So Will is watching his step.
Right. Or he needs to make a couple mistakes so no one wants him, right? Otherwise, they're going to go promoting him, right? Hey, this guy's pretty darn good.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one. I like that.
So anyway, but I mean, yeah, what a difference that has made in that San Francisco team acquiring McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, John Lynch, a Stanford guy, was a teammate of Ed McCaffrey's at Stanford. Lynch was actually a quarterback there his first couple of years at Stanford, and then made the switch to defensive back his last year there. So he was throwing passes to Ed McCaffrey in practice at Stanford. He was a backup quarterback.
And I was just reading who was it? Lynn, the Cowboys.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn's a running backs coach and assistant head coach.
Did you read that story today? So when he was with Mike Shanahan at Denver,
okay,
Kyle was the number one ball boy. And now he's working for him.
That's right. And, you know, and the 49ers are hoping he gets a head coaching job soon,
right.
So they'll get two third-round draft picks for him.
Then we'll rehire him, right?
That's right.
That's pretty good. That's a great stat.
All right. Let's save some time for our picks as we get you ready for the 5:30 kickoff on Sunday. Back with more Mix Shots in a moment.
We paid how much for those lessons?
Shh, she's doing great.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can you pass me a Pepsi Zero Sugar?
Great job, honey!
Oh, look at that. That's not the end.
No way. Now it's time for the encore.
You know what? You're right. Five times? Not enough times.
For everyone who traded in rock concerts for their kids' recitals, you've compromised enough. Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's what I like.
Nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate. You hear that? I'm a torrential downpour. Torrential? What's that even mean? It means you can't see out of your windshield. And if you have the wrong car insurance, you might have to make it rain to fix your bumper. So switch to Allstate, save money, and be better protected from mayhem, like me.
Based on coverage and limits selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. In most states, prices vary based on how you buy. Allstate Bar and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Medal of Honor is our country's highest military award for valor in combat. More than 40 million individuals have served in the armed forces since the Civil War. Fewer than 4,000 have received the Medal of Honor. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a place to preserve these legacies and inspire America. It's being built right next door to the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. Help us honor our country's greatest heroes. Learn more and get involved at mohmuseum.org.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling. United Ag and Turf, for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Back to Mixed Shots.
Get the ultimate fan experience for the ultimate Cowboys fan. Join Dallas Cowboys United, presented by Globe Life, starting at just $20. Join now and get your fan pack, exclusive benefits, and more. Visit DallasCowboys.com/United for details and join today.
All right, it's our final segment before the big game on Sunday. We got 9 minutes here to wrap things up and get you ready for kickoff.
So, question for you. Who do you think is trying to simulate the plays that are run by Deebo Samuel on the Cowboys scout team? You got a guess? Because there's nobody like him.
Who would be?
Can take a guess.
Chris Beam can take a guess. Producer Supreme.
He probably knows.
No, I don't know.
No, he doesn't know.
I can guess.
I've got one that popped into mind, but I'll let you guess first. Producer Supreme.
I would say if you want to get the speed, I don't know about the size, but speed at least. How about Turpin?
Okay.
You got Turpin. You know, C.J. Goodwin has been the quarterback scout guy,
right,
on a running quarterback.
Right.
So that popped into my mind immediately, just based on that in the past. I'm trying to think of someone who's otherwise. So it must be a defensive player.
No, it's an offensive
player. Oh, it is an offensive player.
Yeah.
Is it one that's been?
He was active the first game of the season.
Oh,
that's easy. That's the wide receiver from, was it Western Michigan?
Dennis Houston.
Dennis Houston.
Dennis Houston. Yeah. All right. I forgot Dennis Houston was still on the team.
Well, he's on the scout team. There's no reason you would remember that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I would think that was a very important job this week. The different things that
definitely
Houston can do. Or can he do because of what Samuel can do? And that's going to be very important.
Yeah, I like that.
The other thing is I think they're pretty confident that Jayron Kearse will be good to go.
That's a huge thing.
And it sounds like they really liked the alignment with the safeties, playing 3 to 4 safeties at a time.
Okay, so how does that match up? Because we talked about earlier in the week, I thought the way Tampa Bay and the personnel that Tampa Bay has at the wide receiver position, the Cowboys were fortunate to be playing that type of team and going with, I mean, obviously their base is a big nickel to begin with, but even in the dime package where you got McQuamu covered in the slot, And Kirst was guarding Godwin a lot in the game the other day. So how does that match up with the San Francisco personnel, though?
Well, if you look at their wide receiver group, I mean, you know, they like to play the fullback, by mm-hmm. the way.
So a lot of 21 personnel.
Right. So Ayuk and Debo would be your top two wide receivers. And then after that, it's Jawan Jennings as the third guy. And so be interesting if they go direction.
The thing that's interesting about it is when McCaffrey moves out to the slot.
Slot, right.
Which is a different skill set than what you saw with Tampa Bay.
And that would
which is probably a lot of the reason why Tom Brady struggled this year compared to the past. Obviously with New England, he always had the Wes Welker type slot receiver.
They should have signed
Danny
Beasley.
Amendola.
Beasley was available.
Well, they did. They had him for a little bit, for a week or so.
Yeah, it didn't last long.
Exactly. That's right.
He retired.
Yeah, that's right.
Until Buffalo.
And then he came back and he scored a touchdown in the playoffs last week.
So you would think, and I don't know much about Jawan Jennings, but. If that's a or
Jennings is a big receiver. He's a 6'3", 212-pound receiver. So he's not one of those little. Brandon Ayuk fits that mold a little bit more as far as being a shifty guy.
Right.
You know.
But I would imagine you're putting Diggs on Ayuk, right? No matter where he lines up. And McQuamu might match up with Jennings since he's kind of a big wide receiver. McCaffrey will be the mismatch.
Mm-hmm. And what about Debo?
And Debo, I don't know. You better put two guys on him. There better be a safety and a corner on him.
So that's what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like with Tampa, you had Godwin. It was a lot of underneath stuff. And, I mean, he kind of took on that tight end role a little bit, even though he's not a tight end, as far as, you know, underneath stuff and then attacking the seam.
But they absorbed.
Where you could put a curse on him easily. He's not the quick twitch guy like a McCaffrey would be.
You might have to zone that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're running, your linebackers are not going to run with McCaffrey in coverage, in man, right?
Okay.
Donovan Wilson.
Yeah. Bland being more of a slot corner would be a better. But then you got the out. That's where the Cowboys are hurting right now. And so how do they gauge how Xavier Rhodes looked, where he could play outside and you can move Bland into the slot? And it's just going to be very interesting to see how Dan Quinn matches him up with the personnel that San Francisco has. And the tricky part of it is you have that same personnel on the field, whether they're going to run the ball or throw the ball.
Right.
I mean, that's the beauty of the addition of McCaffrey to that team is his versatility allows them to not dictate at the snap whether they're going to run the ball or throw it.
Right, and Quinn talked about their versatility.
Because the Cowboys didn't care last week whether they were in 11 personnel or 12 personnel. They were going with their base big nickel package, and they would just match up. This week might be a little different.
Right.
Where you got to have the true cornerbacks on the field.
Well, then the only other cornerback you got is Rhodes.
That's right.
And
Kelvin Joseph.
So, they put him out there. He said of Rhodes, I thought he demonstrated in a short time he picked up what they were doing. So I guess that was good. He said, I felt his energy, but again, and he said he'll stay attached to somebody. So they may have to, see how the game goes. That might be one of those things where you got this great plan, and then as soon as you get punched in the mouth, the plan goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the old boxing term?
Mike Tyson, that's right.
Yeah.
As Nate Newton has joined us the last couple of minutes.
Everybody's
here.
Got a great plan until they get punched in the mouth.
That's right. All right, so we got a couple of minutes left to make our picks here. And Everson has his picks. And his pick was Cowboys win 30-24. And he's got C.D. Lamb with two TDs. You like that?
I like it.
Because we know what Nate's got.
Yes, sir.
Cowboys by one.
The only reason I came here is to hear his deal. That's the only reason I came here.
You didn't care about mine?
No, I love you at Everson's, but he is the show when it comes to picks to click. One pick, one click.
I wonder if he filled up with gas today.
That's the reason.
Or did he fill up, or did he
stop it?
Do half a fill up or something like that?
Well, then let me go first, so we'll keep everybody with us till the end, right? Mm-hmm. I've got the Cowboys 35-31.
Cool. Ooh, both in the 30s.
And if CD is his pick, then the guy throwing it to him is my pick.
Wow.
Dak Prescott's going to be the difference in this game.
Great, great pick, man.
Okay, all right. Okay, who are they playing?
Yeah.
They're playing the 49ers.
Oh, here we go.
I did fill up. I went ahead and filled up, and it went way beyond what the score would be. It was like $75.
That's what you get for having that big monster.
So instead, I looked at the other pumps. Okay. And I looked, okay, is there one of these pumps that has a score that looks like it could be a football score?
Right,
okay,
right.
An amount that looks like it could be a football score. And I found one.
Okay.
What was the score of the game when the Cowboys, Nate Newton and the Cowboys, went to the NFC Championship game at Candlestick Park 30 years ago this week?
I couldn't tell you. All I know is we won.
I believe it was 30-20.
30-20.
It was?
To 20.
We beat
them
like that?
Wound up being
game tight.
It was a tight game, but that late touchdown after an Alvin Harper 80-yard slant and Emmitt scored the touchdown, I think.
No, on that. Kelvin Martin.
You remember what happened after that? Kelvin Martin scored the touchdown. What happened after that?
Missed extra
point. Elliott missed the extra point.
We've had this before. Don't panic. Yeah.
Kept it a two-score game.
Yeah,
that's right. All right, so here it is. Here's my final score right there. 29-20. Not 30-20. 29-20 against the – that totals 49. See, 49.
I got you. Yeah.
Cowboys, 29. Niners, 20.
He's making a mockery of this exercise.
Is your final score the pick to click? There's so much talk about Christian McCaffrey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the Cowboys' Christian McCaffrey?
Tony Pollard.
Boy, after you did all those great numbers and stats yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
After you upset Mick and he tried to one better you.
Last 3 years, Tony Pollard, 3,055 yards. Christian McCaffrey, 3,039 yards. So Tony Pollard is your winner of the pick to click.
Somebody pointed out that Zeke's average per carry is way down. And I'm thinking, if I'm Zeke, we're on the 1 yard line. I don't want any more of those carries because all I can get is 1 yard per carry at the one. So that didn't get pointed out that they use him close to the goal line and he scores touchdowns by the way.
So if he had 12 1 yard touchdown runs, then you just take those off his total and see what his average is then.
Yeah, well, you should.
Yeah.
But don't just look at it black
and white. I would, me as a player, as a guy, I wouldn't even look at it that way. Because whatever Tony Pollard is averaging, that is Zeke's average too. Zeke takes a lot of the shine off of the defense.
Yeah.
You know, and even when Tony starts or have more carries earlier, it still comes down to Zeke taking the edge off of these guys. So I look at him as one guy. You know, even though I would prefer if extra carries have to be had, I would give him to Pollard because of his explosiveness. But other than that, I look at him as one guy, you know.
Okay, as we close out, we've all got the Cowboys winning.
Mm-hmm.
So who are we playing next week?
I don't care. Suit it up. Let's go.
Now, Everson's got a home game next week. He's got – because he's picking the Giants because he played for the Giants.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's a sellout, and now he's not going to ride with the Cowboys?
No, he's got the Cowboys playing the Giants next week because he played for both teams.
Nah, don't ride like that ever. Whoever win. You know, when you get into the second round – and I hate to say this because we've been this, But it's the first week of the super wild card. I call it garbage time. We make sure we get all the garbage teams out. Now the big boys are
That's
playing.
Right.
And the Cowboys this year is a part of the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't worry about who you play. You just go forward.
Just line them up.
Just line them up now.
See? Exactly.
You don't worry about who you play
exactly
now, man.
Exactly what Micah Parsons
yes.
said.
I go back to 92. Everyone thought the Eagles were all it. Early that season,
yes.
the Cowboys went to Philadelphia on a Monday night game, and the Eagles won 31-7.
Yes.
Cowboys came back 3 weeks later and beat them at home, and then first round, or divisional playoff round, beat them at home and at Texas Stadium again, and then went to San Francisco win, and then clobbered
beat them
Buffalo.
Too.
Yep, that's right. Just line them up.
That's what Micah Parsons said. Bring
yes,
him on.
Yes, man. Mm-hmm. No, man. This has got to be so exciting because this is where I picked the Cowboys to be this year. You know, I've had literally just blows with my team, guys, that we do the part. What makes you think Super Bowl? When we prove that we deserve to be in that second round, that's where anything can happen. People say, well, you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. No. No, because first week the garbage gets taken out. This week right here, you get to take a little bit of the entree home. You know what I'm saying? So this is the big boy week. Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
Yep. So you got the Giants or the Eagles? I'm tempted to go Giants.
I'm tempted to go Giants on that game.
Mm-hmm.
If they win, they get to come here, right?
If the Giants,
okay, let's go Giants.
Yeah,
whatever brings a home
you
for
think
our
that'll
fans,
help them?
whatever does for our fans, I want our fans. You know, so this is a slap in the face, so we can stop being delusional about, you know, NFC Championship games, the Super Bowl. Now we're playing in them. You know what I'm saying? So you can stop being delusional.
Can't keep saying, hadn't been in that NFC title game for 30 years.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how giddy Jerry will be if the Giants beat the Eagles on Saturday night?
Did you hear
the Cowboys
him on his radio
beat the
show?
Niners. I did not.
Did you hear? He said his eyes would roll back in his head. And all you see the whites in his eyes. He said it was on the radio show.
If they were playing a home NFC title game.
Yeah. So I'm telling you. This is one time I probably would go to the game. I'd be like, you know what, fellas, y'all do this. I'm going with Mr. Jones. We're gonna drink it out. I ain't drunk in about 10 years. Man.
All right. Well, enjoy the game on Sunday. Mickey's going to be there in Santa Clara.
Yes.
And Nate, you're going to be
back here. Yeah.
Okay.
And Bill's going to be with us in Santa
you
Clara.
This week, huh?
I think I'm going there, although I just got a text that may say otherwise, but we'll see.
Okay.
I'll be doing something.
Don't read it. Just go to the charter.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, and so we will be back here at high noon on Monday to talk about the Cowboys hosting the Giants in the NFC Championship game.
Yes,
are you going to say go Cowboys?
Oh, I was going to let Nate do that.
Oh,
Nate?
You right. Go Cowboys! Yes, sir.
Dude, do it one more time, Nate.
Go Cowboys!
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?